When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:48 Central Standard Time. Hope you guys all set your clocks back. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It's I, at SenaCrow2 on Twitter. You can find me at SenaCrow on Venmo. To one side of me, via the magic of the internet, is the rumor monger himself, Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter. The S stands for shout out to his parents. Yeah.
Yeah, they helped me move all weekend. They're great. Thanks, guys.
Also stands for, like, still doing show notes.
Something like that.
Also joining us, as always, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR that you pay for. And guys, really, thanks for paying for it. If you're listening to this for free, you're getting away with something. It's the AU Chief.
Well, nobody's perfect.
I don't get that one. Okay, I know there's a reference.
That's just the response of watching our football team this week.
Which one of Chiefs football
teams? It's actually
teams?
From 1959 Academy Award winner, possibly. Some Like It Hot.
Uh-huh. Starring Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into it. Soccer lost in the SEC tournament to the number one overall seed, Arkansas. Arkansas's really, really good, and they got beat by the number two seed, Tennessee. But Auburn was so good this year. How good were they? So good this year. They are fourth seed in the upcoming NCAA tournament and are hosting at least, I believe, at least two rounds. The first round.
Well, assuming they win the first one.
Yeah, assuming they win the first one. And they play 13 seed Samford. The Bulldogs
make a rematch from earlier in the year.
I think they smoked him the first time they played him.
No, 2-1. 2-1.
They are, though, right? 2-1.
Yeah, in Birmingham. Yeah, okay. That was another one of those games where Auburn gave up a super early goal, I think like 2 minutes into the game, and then kind of dominated the rest of the night. But
that game's at 5 o'clock. And now that game is not going to be free. There's a spoiler for those of you who've never done one of these. I remember going to the last time Auburn hosted a tournament game. I think it was like we lost to Wisconsin. And pulled up, was not expecting to pay anything because I'd never paid to go to an Auburn soccer game. It was freezing and raining. And I walked up and it was like 10 or 15 bucks. Like it was not $5.
All right.
And it was lame because I got there late and we were losing, but I still paid. So be prepared to pay money. And also be prepared for like everything to be a little bit different. Like the concessions are a little bit different. Everything is different because it's run by the NC2A. It's not completely an Auburn joint.
So, I was trying to do some logistics on how to take the whole family and then realized, oh, that's going to – first of all, it's going to cost me $40. Second of all, it's my wife's birthday, so that's probably a no-go.
You don't want to get her tickets, soccer tickets for her birthday?
Well, the fact that she – like not even thinking about it being her birthday, she was like, no. When I said, do you want to go? I'm going to go, no. Yeah, I want to say yeah. The tickets wouldn't be a great gift. Great choice.
Well, I think, if you're not celebrating a birthday, then you absolutely need to go, the rest of you. If you're there, probably should do it.
You can kind of make it a double feature for this Friday night.
That's right. Just walk right on over to the basketball arena.
And yep. It should be done in time. I mean, soccer games, I guess that's the best thing about soccer is pretty predictable. 90 minutes with a 20-minute intermission.
Yeah. Probably won't make tip just because it's sure. It's 10-minute walk.
You'll be, you know, 5 minutes after the tip.
Yeah. Make it for the first time out.
Or hopefully, the girls are just blowing out Stanford and they don't worry about it.
5-0, and you can just leave a little bit early. Catch the next one.
Yeah. If they do win this one, it's not like basketball where they play two in the same weekend. The next game would be next Friday, also in Auburn, the second round. They'd play the winner of Brown or St. John's. Okay. I'll be honest, don't know anything about them, but that would be the 5-12 game, right?
We're a 4-13.
We're a 4-13 game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they made the tournament, so I'm figuring they're, decent.
Yep.
Because Auburn did not make the tournament last year, and we're good.
Yeah, there's a little bit of controversy around that. I think kind of fueled them to lose, no doubt, this year.
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't. It was it was a great season. It was in a tough, really tough conference for soccer. So
young team, too. Mm-hmm. Led by, we talked about Anna Haddock all year. She's just a sophomore. Maddie Prohaska, goal, is a sophomore. This is kind of the still early and showing things to come for the next couple of years for this team.
What were the two girls get named to the All SEC tournament team? I saw.
I missed the tournament team. I know Alyssa Melanson was defender of the year for the SEC.
I mean, that's, yeah. And she definitely earned that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was her. The two girls named to the All-SEC tournament team, which I thought was interesting considering they didn't make it to the championship game. You don't always see that happening in those tournaments. Yeah. Like, I'll see if I can't find that thing.
Yeah, so if Auburn did happen to get to the third round, win those first two games, they would be likely playing at Duke in the third round. Duke's the one seed, and they're part of the bracket. And they've obviously had a great year. But Auburn's shown they can contend with some of these top teams. They played Florida State in that tight game earlier this year, who I think is number two overall seed.
So Craven and Candelino. Number 22.
Yeah, Amy Craven and Olivia Candelino.
Yeah. 22 and 23 on your roster, both named to the SEC All Tournament team.
Yeah, she's the one that is, I think, 6'1 or 6'2, and is just kind of got a huge leg and obviously the tallest one on the field at any given point.
Auburn's RPI was defense factor. Auburn had an RPI of 17, in case you wanted to know.
That's pretty dang good.
And that's how you get to be the 4 seed overall. Really, really, this is a chance. This is a team that really could build something. Coach Hoppe's got it rolling.
Yeah, go out here, get into the Sweet 16, build a little bit of momentum.
Now we're talking.
And I won't pretend to know a ton about the NCAA soccer tournament as far as how it compares to the basketball tournament. But we always talk about with basketball, you just get into the tournament and weird things can happen.
Soccer is kind of that way in general.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that's the reason most major soccer tournaments have a group stage.
Kind of weed out some of the lower.
Before you get teams. to the usually the quarterfinals, the knockout stages, as it were. Mm-hmm. Even in those, right? I'm not crazy. You have home and away legs in the knockout stage usually in a lot of tournaments. I think,
yeah, but not
am I crazy?
Not in this tournament.
Yeah, not in this tournament. Right. I'm thinking.
Yeah, this is structured like the basketball tournament: 64 teams, four regions.
It's also structured like the
this is like FA Cup.
Yeah, FA Cup, League Cup. except those you draw and like you have a pot and you draw and your opponent draws.
It's totally random.
It's crazy. It's kind of cool, but it adds a element of chaos, which Auburn fans might like, but they don't do it in the NCAA.
I think that would be rad if they did this like FA Cup style. Because you'd have the number one playing the number two seed in the first round, technically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, usually you can't do that because really what they would do is your top four seeds would be in different buckets, yeah. So you couldn't do that. But you could end up with like the second best or the fifth best team playing the first best or best team in the first.
It'd be an interesting way to do it if they in any of these kind of NCAA tournaments where the committee seeded teams but didn't place them in the bracket and then randomly bracketed it from there.
That's kind of how.
So anyone could play any 16, you know, any five could play any 12.
That's what they should do when they expand the NCAA football tournament.
It's not an NCAA thing.
It's true.
Yeah.
College.
I would like them to keep their hands as far away from it as possible, as a matter of fact.
I don't know. I kind of like the Division II tournament. It runs pretty well.
I mean, if they want to do it full on,
yeah,
they can do it, but I don't like the NCAA. I don't like their tournaments that much either.
I don't either.
It's difficult to screw up a 64-team basketball tournament. Like, it's single elimination. Like, the four of us could do it.
It's a terrible way to pick a champion.
No, yeah, it doesn't pick anything except for the winner of that tournament.
But it's highly entertaining, which is usually all I mean, that's really all I care about.
Yeah. Well, they built a multi-million-dollar industry around it, so you can be sure it'll stay.
To be honest, there's no good way to pick a champion out of 300-something teams. Like, it's just really hard to do.
Yeah.
So,
and that brings us to the Power Five needs to just break away and form its own division.
There you go.
And because at the moment, that's kind of already what's happening. The college football playoff is basically announced without announcing that, like, that's what this is. This is the Power Five playoff.
Yeah.
We're not letting Cincinnati in. Like, period. Next year, maybe, when they're in the Big 12. But not this year. They could win every game by 100. Just not going to happen. All right.
Could be.
That's enough football.
We want to get into football or basketball?
No, we're not going to.
We have a short football conversation. So.
Football, Auburn lost. It sucked. They played again this Saturday.
Everybody was bad except for the
defense.
I was a little
upset about losing to the Aggies.
It was a waste of time. It was a complete waste of time. It reminded me very much so of the game that I had to watch or listen to on the radio, actually, the following day when the Cowboys just decided not to play against the Broncos. And at halftime, the Cowboys radio announcer literally said, "That first half was just a complete waste of time." like he was just sick of being there already.
I will say the defense was really, really good.
Well, they had to be.
They only gave up one touchdown. I mean,
they were good. They were better in this game than they were against Georgia. And Georgia's offense isn't great, guys. So it's not like
it's better than
the defense A&M's. Defense has gotten better, and that part was good. It just sucked that literally I don't know that anyone. Tank did okay. Tank was fine. He didn't have a lot of. There's not much you can do when your offensive line can't.
I think he watched too many Sammy Coates highlights before the game because he was going for every stiff arm on every.
He was trying to truck everybody. The running backs tried. I'll give them that. Everybody else.
It was a weird first half. You know, you went to half at 3-3, but it didn't feel like the offense was that bad. The numbers weren't good, but it didn't feel like the offense was playing that bad.
Right.
And then just nothing after half.
And the first half flew by.
Well, it was like the Ole Miss game, except
backwards.
Well, no, we didn't do anything on offense in the second half of the Ole Miss game.
Right. Okay, that's what you're saying.
And so, like,
they just kept going.
If Bose passed for the touchdown hits, and you know, maybe we end up scoring another one. It's almost just like the Ole Miss game. Like, we score two touchdowns in the first half or whatever, and then nothing in the second half. And I don't know. I think what we found out is that we're living on pretty thin margins with this offense. We haven't scored a touchdown is, I mean, you always do, but with this in particular, everybody has to be on their game or nothing's happening. And yeah, that's what happened.
I mean, everybody has to, like, football, very cliche to say, it's the ultimate team sport, because if somebody doesn't do their job, the play is destroyed. But there were times in which we were in, Auburn had gotten itself into the position to score or to make something happen, and then somebody who had to do something perfectly to make it happen couldn't get it done. And that was an Anders at one point missed a field goal. That was Bo missing a touchdown pass. That literally, if he'd got that right, we're sitting here with a completely different conversation.
It's 10-3, and maybe we're not.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo doesn't get up in his head. Like,
it's a whole different conversation that we're having. The safety's back off.
And it was another game of wide receivers probably being misaligned some. I mean, there was more than one point where Bo was having to yell at receivers.
But the receivers were catching the ball.
No, but pre-snap.
Right, but yeah, I will say.
But they didn't know the play or just weren't aligned or what.
Since the Georgia game, there has not been a drop problem. There have been some drops, but it hasn't been as it was endemic the first couple of games.
And even Shed slips on one and it's nearly picked off. Like that, that was, and I mean, that's not Shed's fault. I mean,
it happens. Who was it that almost had a pick six on the goal line for Auburn on the one touchdown the A&M offense scored? Was it Jalen Simpson?
Yeah, Jalen Simpson.
That ball went through his hand. He had it red, and if he catches that, he's gone.
Yeah, it was 2-point conversion.
So it would have only been
2-point conversion. 2 points.
But at that point, it goes from 17-3 to 15-5. I can't say Auburn comes back at that point, but that's it's a big momentum play there.
It really felt like when we got momentum. On the one where we missed the field goal. We had the momentum, and we lost it when we missed that field goal. We did great. We got down there. Okay, it's okay. We got to settle for a field goal. We go up 6-3 or 6-6 at that point. I can't remember. And then it's over. I think Josh Black in the Slack was like, okay, that builds momentum, and I'm thinking, I don't know if it does for the defense because they just saw us waste all that time and do nothing. And it's just like, oh, what now? And I think that crushed everyone.
We needed to score a touchdown on that drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mike Bobo can't escape criticism here. It was after several weeks of praising him. There was just some weird stuff that got called in this game.
If the double flea flicker hits, it's a great call, but Bo drops the toss.
Yeah.
And that, that ruins that. I think on the next play was the fumble.
I mean, right before that, I said, right before that, I said in our Slack, I was like, I don't like Bo in this position. Like, I don't like it. Like, it was the point of desperation at that point that we had to score on that drive, and everything fell apart. It's just a bummer. The D played great, and I've tried to focus on that. I'm like, I've talked about how much I hate watching them play because we give up a lot of
underneath stuff, and they lock it down in the red zone. At this point, they're holding up in the red zone. So.
Special teams was great too.
Yeah, I think I mentioned in the Slack that besides the muffed punt last week, it's interesting as an Auburn fan to have a punt return unit and punt returner that you're like, hey, you know what? You get a couple blocks here.
Yeah, got a return on every time we receive the ball. We got a pretty good return on it. So
that's never the case.
Our punting end has had a fantastic season. I mean, he's pretty reliably.
Yeah, that dude's not playing at Auburn next year.
I know, I love him. I don't want him
playing in the NFL next year for sure.
Well, it is funny though that he's having, by all accounts, a pretty good year. But there's another punter.
Oh, that dude for San Diego State.
San Diego State right now, that is flying the ball 70 yards.
This dude at San Diego State is so good that the last team they played lined up two punt returners against him because he's so good. They had one like 30 yards deep and another one 70 yards deep. And the guy kicked it over both of their heads.
Yeah, so if you missed it last week, they had a punt from their own 12-yard line that he overshot and got a touchback. So he netted 58 yards. Is that right?
Yeah.
68
yards.
And regardless, people were giving him a hard time for getting a touchback there, but you know, netting over 50 in general is pretty good. So.
I mean, this dude is—he's unbelievable. He's why they were undefeated for a while.
Is he also Australian?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. All right, let's talk about basketball. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Let's do a commercial break first. Let's get a word in from the sponsors. Right?
Yeah. And we're back. 20 minutes and 10 seconds.
Oh,
we do play Mississippi State.
Yeah, there we go.
They're really good on defense as well. In that game, the Golden Flake time of the game, which is not actually sponsored by Golden Flake, but I'd like it to be. The Sweet Heat time of the game is 11 o'clock a.m. So that's going to be kegs and eggs for everybody. Man, 11 a.m. games, I don't love it, but at least it's, I don't know, at least it's going to be over before the end of the day.
I hate them at home. I hate it so bad at home. I'll play every game on the road at 11 a.m. and I don't care. But
their quarterback, Will Rogers, the Cowboy himself, never met a man he didn't like. Is just bawling out.
Yeah, and in the worst possible way for Auburn, I think.
Well, he doesn't have a ton.
It's like
in the 5 to 10 yard range.
I was going to say, like, he doesn't have a lot of touchdown passes. He has a lot of passes and a lot of completions.
Which that might bode well for us if that's the case.
Yeah, let him
get down to the 25, and
it'll be difficult for them to get into the end zone. I think they're definitely going to be moving the ball. I mean, he's only averaging 6.8 yards per attempt, but on 75% pass. So, I mean, he's pretty reliably getting those 7 yards.
Yeah,
I will not be surprised. A&M had like 400 yards this past weekend. I will not be surprised if they have that kind of yardage against us. But don't score any points.
I'm calling right now. This is the week for a Roger McCreary pick six.
Oh yeah,
he hadn't had one this year, and this is it. Because no one's throwing to him, but
yeah,
Will Rogers throws to everybody. So this is the week.
They also have a pretty good tight end, right?
We're probably going to know his name by the end of the day. By the end of the week. Good sneeze, Ryan. We got that, I think.
Well,
not me.
So we shut down the guy, Weidermeyer, whatever the hell his name is, for Texas A&M. Like, he had like 3 catches, or 4 maybe. The other guy has like 10 catches, and it's like doubles his career total in one day and has like 125 yards or something stupid like that. So. It was very upsetting. So hopefully we don't have a repeat of that.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going. Now we really are moving off of this, off the oblong ball.
Yeah. Ryan and I took in some basketball.
Tell me about the future champs, the national champions to be, Auburn men's basketball.
Definitely a little rust involved, a little trying to figure out how to play with each other.
Yeah, a lot of new faces getting on the court in the live setting against an opponent for the first time.
Dylan Cardwell's just as animated as always against a D2 opponent. So that was fun.
I'm pretty sure he got a block on a play that another Auburn defender drew a charge. And as the guy was going through him and up to the basket, Cardwell got the block anyways.
Yeah, he and Jabari, I believe, blocked a guy at the same time at one point.
Yep. Walker Kessler had 6 blocks.
Yeah. Walker, I don't know. If he starts dropping the 3-ball in, I don't think anybody's going to care. I could see a lot of people being frustrated with him from what I saw. Because he is not – he's not going to be – he's huge. He's really tall. He's not – big.
He doesn't play inside a ton.
He's not Austin Wiley. He's not big and strong. And I think that might frustrate some people. He's not going to be down there in the block.
Well, he plays like a three.
Yeah.
Less than not a five. Which, I mean, that's what we've heard all season, is that he's going to run the floor. He's going to shoot some threes.
Yeah, he likes to step out.
Yeah. Which is going to create some different looks, keeping up the guard. But, you know, you compare him with Jalen Williams. You compare him with Jabari Smith. I mean, you're going to have a massive size advantage on any team you play, even if he does step out. But, yeah. Zeb Jasper didn't have much counting stats in this game, but so you wouldn't know it not seeing the game how well he played.
Yeah, he played really well.
But he was a menace on the defensive end. I mean, he was a full court press by himself, pretty much. He was almost able to trap some guys on their own 3-point line. I think he's going to cause a lot of problems for teams, and he might end up being the starter too. He started in this game to let Katie Johnson come off the bench, and you know, being that veteran guard, I could see him, Bruce, trusting him a lot this year. And he ran the point a lot too, and he looked really good doing it.
Yeah, I was impressed with what I saw from Zep too.
He should have had a lot more assists, but nobody could make a shot in the first 15 minutes or so. That's nothing fell for him.
Yeah, this is just a lot of rust is what it looked like to me. A guy I was really impressed with, longtime fans of the pod might be shocked to hear this, is Devin Cambridge. Played really well. He was all over the place. He was going after boards. He was taking good shots.
This is it, guys. Devin Cambridge, we've talked about it, that he is just long Malik. And this is the year. Yeah,
this is the year.
This is the year that he is the 2017 Malik. This is
what I saw the other night.
2018 Malik.
He may surpass Malik, and then he might be starting.
There's a lot of things that this team has that if you look at, like, I don't want to compare every Auburn team to the 2018 Auburn team, because that was a singular team that did an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And each team is different, and like,
sure,
we don't want to live in the past. However, all that said, I believe this team has a better version of Malik talent-wise in Devin Cambridge. This team has a better version of Horace in any number of bench big men that we've got. Most notably Dylan Cardwell. I think he does a lot of the Horace Spencer type things, but he does it in a way that's maybe even better offensively. You could make the case that Stretch, who doesn't even play.
Yeah, Stretch did not play a single
play at all, which was unfortunate.
A little worrisome there for Stretch. I don't know if he had a knock, as they say, or what, but he did not see the floor. Lior Berman played some significant minutes, and Stretch didn't see the floor.
Some of that is depth. And before you go on, I do want to speak to that for a second. I think what that tells us is that for non-conference, Lior is going to be your fourth guard. Cambridge didn't really play the two, and we kind of thought he might play some two this year.
Yeah.
But he's not. He played three pretty much the whole game. Lior was your fourth guard.
Is Bruce going to use four guards, though?
Well, and what I think is going to end up happening is I think that kind of tells us Flan is going to be more of a two when he comes back.
Maybe, yeah.
Because if you were going to have Cambridge play the two when Flan came back, you would go ahead and get those minutes in for him.
Yeah.
If Cambridge is your full season three, you kind of make do for, you know, a couple months at the two, and then slot Flan in there when he's healthy.
And then Jalen is just your utility infielder. He's just going to play everywhere.
But back to my 2018 comparison.
Yeah. Sorry.
Walker Kessler is a better talent-wise Anthony McLemore. Like, he's a shot blocker who shoots threes. Is that what this is?
I mean, he's yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I think that Auburn has replaced a lot of players types.
So far, Anthony's
better talented versions.
So far, in our one game sample size, Anthony's a better 3-point shooter than he is.
But, is he a slower 3-point shooter as well?
No, God no. But nobody's going to block his shot. Like, there's just literally nobody that's going to block his shot ever.
Yeah, he's 7'1".
So he could have the slowest shot in the world, and it would no chance of anybody doing anything to it.
The Death Star windup of Anthony McLemore's.
Jabari had the prettiest shot I've ever seen in that arena. Like, it took him a while to get going, and this was a big thing that I kept thinking during the game. I wanted to caution anyone listening to this, all 10 to 15 people that may be listening at this point.
Dozens of us.
Jabari's going to take a while to cook. It's going to be don't expect him to drop 30 points tomorrow night and have 10 blocks or something like that. He's going to take a while. He was pretty good blocking shots the other night, or disrupting shots at least. I don't know how many blocks he actually had. But he
had 12 rebounds. I know that.
Yeah. So he's hitting the board.
He finished with a double-double with 11 and 11.
That's pretty good.
He was struggling most of the night.
He was, it was a struggle most of the night, and he still had a double-double. And it gets a D2 team. So as the competition ramps up, I could see him struggling just a little bit, just getting a feel for this level. It may take him a second. Plus, he's playing with these guys for the first time.
So if you're listening to this tomorrow night in the middle of his 25-15 game, exactly. You can thank Chief.
It may be 2-3 games. It may be all non-con that it takes him to get going. I you can see it's there.
He looks a little nervous. I mean, there were a couple lip outs, that he tried to put back and just didn't fall.
He had a bad case of the Dangels where it would just go right in and just pop right out.
But what I think we saw is that there is no team talent-wise or no other player talent-wise that's going to keep him from getting his. If he's on, he's going to score, and he's going to dominate the game.
He's
on or not.
The thing that I think he's going to have to get used to is his ball handling when he has the ball. He tried to
play a little bit too much point guard, I think. He made some passes. Made some dribbling when he shouldn't have.
A guy as talented as him can probably figure that out during the season. He may have a lot of turnovers in his first SEC game or something like that, just because it was a little sloppy looking. It just dribbling it too high, stuff he could just get away with in high school, and nobody was going to touch him. I think he'll figure that out though. So. Not a big deal.
That's pretty common with any high-rated freshman, I feel like. I mean, Sharif had the same thing last year, his first couple games, where it was like, man, you're making some amazing plays, but some other stuff, it doesn't work in college. Don't try that anymore.
Yeah.
I think we'll see the same from Jabari, and hopefully he gets a full 30-plus games to figure that out.
Yeah, hopefully so. Another thing I noticed, oop timing's a little bit off.
Devin tried to he tried to blow the roof off the place. And
He threw just one. Couldn't hit. It was successful.
Yeah, he threw one to Kessler, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
That's going to happen. I think you're going to see a lot of Jabari and Devin to Kessler, kind of high post, interior post alley-oops. Because you got a guy who's 7-1. Yeah. If his man doubles, just throw it high.
It's awesome. Yeah.
And it's, that's going to be a lot.
Another thing I think we saw from the guards, KD, Zepp, and Wendell, I think those guys were pressing really hard because they're trying to be a starter. They're trying to beat the starter. So they were trying to run wide open, do as much as they could so that they get the starting job.
Those guys are new in Bruce's offense, and I think they know what guards for Bruce Pearl teams can get to.
Yeah,
and so yeah, it's you know, this is a whole new look team. It's going to take some time.
It was exciting. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
Played great defense down the stretch.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Dylan Cardwell earlier. He led the team at plus 23 and plus minus and had 0 points. That's incredible.
Oh, man. It's fun. It's so great to have that coming off the bench. And I'm pretty excited about this game coming up with the Morehead State. So, because they're a quality opponent that will tell us a little bit more about this team. So, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, they were one of the best teams in the OVC last year, second in the regular season behind Belmont, but won the OVC tournament. They're a real good team. I think they're 161 in KenPom coming into the season. They were a power conference team that's kind of low, but for a smaller conference team, if they are coming out of the OVC, that's pretty good.
They didn't lose very many games last year, did they?
Seven or eight, I think. I mean, it was
seven, eight.
Yeah,
okay,
eight. Yeah, not very many. But they're bringing most of that back too. Most of that, yeah, they're kind of led by Johnny Broom. 6'10", 235 forward, all OVC last year. I think he's on the all OVC preseason team this year as well. Almost averaged double-double with 14 and 9.
He's like the post version of Wendell Green, right? In that they both won a bunch of awards.
Yeah, as freshmen, OVC. Yeah, he was a freshman last year. Crow, we love talking about some advanced stats in basketball. Yes. Can you give us a little refresher on PER?
So PER is a stat that's really good for the NBA. I haven't really seen it utilized a ton in college basketball, just because I think that not just the rules are different, but also like the time per half makes it a little bit different, because it uses a lot of plus of like per 48. So PER is a stat that basically talks about your efficiency. It's player efficiency rating, and it is a per minute rating developed by a guy named John Hollinger, who's kind of like, he works for ESPN now, but at one point I think he was in the front office of a team in the league. He might be back in the front office of a team in the league currently, but it sums up all the positive things, subtracts the negative stuff, and then gives you a per minute rating of a player's performance. So that's PER.
What's the scale for that? It's like, what's good, what's average?
In the NBA, all I remember is if you get a 30, if your PER is 30 in the NBA, you're usually in the conversation for the MVP of the league by the end of the year.
And usually like 15 to 20 is average or so?
And I want to say league average is 15 or something like that.
Right. So we've used that to talk about Austin Wiley in the past, who posted, you know, great numbers, just over 30. We've had, you know, normally teams will have somebody in the mid 20s as kind of their MVP. Johnny Broom last year was a 29.2, again, as a freshman during the COVID year. I mean, that's great numbers.
Nothing touches. He was top 20. That touches Zion Williamson's PER at Duke. It was,
yeah, it he was so 40, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's so preposterous.
Broom last year, he was top 40 in the country in offensive and defensive rebound percentage. He was, I think, 50th in block percentage. I mean, he was all over the floor and scoring 14 points a night. I mean,
is he a four or five?
I believe he's a four. Okay. But yeah, so
Jabari guarding this guy.
We'll see. I'm not really sure. He's
big test
he's 6'10", like probably 240 now. He's a big body down there. Luckily, this team, they like to really go slow. They were 314th in tempo last year out of the 360 or so teams in D1. So that tells me that they're going to try and feed the ball to Broom down low in the paint, try and get him one-on-one. In the OVC, that works. So you're playing against a lot of smaller guys. He's going to be going up against, like, say, Jabari or Walker Kessler or Dylan Cardwell down low. This might be a game where you see Cardwell on him a lot, trying to just body up with him. And I, you know, like to think that favors Auburn just because the talent for Auburn is and the depth is all in the front court. But we'll see. They are also extremely turnover prone, at least for last year. They were 333rd in the country in the turnover rate for their offense. So that can be an area that guys like Zeph and Katie Johnson can try and try and take advantage of.
How do they how are they at shooting threes, Ryan?
You want me to just no comment that, or how are we doing that this year?
Oh my god. Not good, huh?
You could just say on paper they're not good.
They were slightly above average last year. Oh, how's that?
There we go.
They shot 35% last year.
That's not bad. It's all right.
Isaac Okoro, by the way, had a PER of 19 at Auburn.
Pretty good.
It's not bad. He, I think he may have been the highest on the team that year.
Which, the
no, there's no way.
Cleveland Cavaliers
PER
are,
really hurts. It hurts the defensive players.
It's really
it likes counting stats, even if it's per 40 or per 48.
It'll crush you on turnovers, though. So if you're an offensive guard who gets turnovers, who turns the ball over a lot, your PER is going to tank. If you are a player who gets to the free throw line a ton, your PER will go up. If you're a player who gets...
Yeah, so on that team 2 years ago, like you said, somebody that gets to the free throw line a lot, PER is way up. Austin Wiley.
Austin Wiley's PER was...
Average throw per field goal attempt at a PER of 30.
Yeah.
Jalen Williams of 21, Samir 19.5, Isaac 19.
So. Yeah, I mean... Austin Wiley was an extremely efficient basketball player. Like,
because he was always taking free throws. He was a hack-a-shack in college, pretty much.
But he shot better than 50%.
Yeah.
Which is like
not perfect. Not bad from the free throw line.
You can win with that. You can win with hey, can you make 50 of these? Because you're going to get to the line 20 times a game.
So that's the Auburn Tigers struggled from the line the other night.
Rinse and repeat.
It was the most difficult 54% free throw shooting.
Oh, man, it was bad. Hopefully that's just rust.
See, that was a thing. Goodness. That was one of the things about the 2018 team was actually good at shooting free throws.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, because they weren't that great the year prior.
Yeah. Auburn's never.
Because Jared Harper was at the line all the time.
And then. Even last year's team had kind of ticked upward, and part of that was because Sharif was actually good at shooting free throws.
I mean, Dangelo Purifoy is maybe the best free throw shooter Auburn's ever had. I'd like to look that up because he was really good at it. Nobody else has ever been good at it at Auburn, pretty much.
Sharif was good at it, but again, and he got to the line a ton. He just didn't play a lot of games.
Which is, I mean, honestly, it's surprising for the way those teams have been built and all of Auburn's teams in the past, where it's not a bunch of freshmen. It's older guys. You see that Cal's teams most of the time can't shoot free throws at all. It's those really talented freshmen. They come in there and they just can't do it. So it's, you know, maybe these guys, maybe it's just a nerves that can really affect your free throw shooting. So maybe they'll settle down and hit them. I don't know. Hopefully though, against Morehead State, we won't have to hit our free throws to win.
Well, so there is one guy on the team that has seen this Morehead State team a decent amount. Wendell Green coming out of EKU last year, played them three times as a freshman. And got better each game. Kind of struggled in his first attempt with him. It's only 4-16 from the field, 9.6 assists. But then in game two, 7-16 from the field, 16 points, 5 assists. Then played him again in the conference tournament where he kind of went off against him in a loss, but was 12-20, 29 points. Hopefully,
let me tell you this right now. If
you get better.
If Wendell Green scores 29 tomorrow night, Auburn wins by 50.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assumption.
All right. Well, do you want to go on to ULM or anything else on Morehead State?
Because we got two games next week.
Yeah.
What time? First of all, what time is the Morehead State game? Let's give everybody the information they need. 7:00. Is it 6:00?
6 o'clock.
No. Nope. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I'm being told 7 o'clock. The ghost in the room. It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, we all told you. Producer Will, I didn't see the thumb on this on the.
He's giving us the European seven.
Yeah. Six.
On SEC Network Plus, so you're gonna have to stream it.
Or be there.
Is we'll be there. Yeah.
Somebody drop a right. Twitch link in Twitter for us. Just Twitch it from the stands.
It'll be the same against ULM on Friday, 7 o'clock, SEC Network Plus.
I expect to see Chief streaming it on his from Twitch on his new Pixel.
Oh yeah, it's coming Wednesday.
Toes in the frame, how'd you of know? Course.
I thought about it. I thought about streaming the exhibition for Painter. Just I know he was asking at someone Painter, to do sure that.
You know how awful it would be to watch a basketball game streamed from a phone?
Do you know how many people watch like every UFC fight that way?
I know.
And, like every boxing match? It's insane. Periscope. That used to be the way to do that, right?
I wonder if
that's how you used to have to watch Hawaii football games too.
What?
That's right.
Because there was for a short period of time, they were only on a channel that like some people on the West Coast got.
Oh wow.
And you'd end up periscoping in like 3 or 4 games of the out of the year.
How are they not in the pack? Pack needs to pick them up.
Because it's just travel costs.
Teams out there.
The issue with Hawaii is not the football team, because everyone wants that. It's you got to send your volleyball team to Hawaii to play. Like, you got to spend a ton of cheddar to get out there for your non-revenue sports.
Yeah, that's true.
That's going to be tough because you can't make them play all away games.
But aren't they're in a conference, right?
Yeah, they're in the Mountain West. Oh, yeah, the Mountain West.
Well, how do those people afford it?
It's a great question.
I know they got way more money.
A couple of years ago, they made Hawaii do this. Like, I think it was somebody on SBH wrote about it, like Hawaii's first game was like against UMass or UConn at UConn.
No, it was at UMass.
Yeah, at UMass. And then they traveled back to Hawaii, but they didn't do it for like another week. Like they spent like a week on the mainland because their next game was an away game as well.
I think it was at Navy.
That's basically how you'd have to do that, right?
Came down on the East Coast, played at Navy in Maryland, and then went back. And like they traveled like something crazy. They traveled the amount of miles that most teams do in a decade in like one season of playing football. And then the coach went to Washington State and refused to get the vaccine and got fired. That's kind of what happens.
You know, why doesn't Alaska have a bunch of good basketball teams?
Because they can be in size up.
Could have had JT Thor.
No, that's true. Because JT Thor comes to Auburn, I guess. I don't know. There's not like
Trajan Langdon.
Is there like a marquee university that people think of in Alaska? I don't think so.
They have some decent hockey teams up there, I think. I think Alaska Fairbanks is the premier program there.
Like, is there an Alaska University that's like?
I think there's two smaller ones.
The secret about Alaska is that it's just not a great place.
What? It's awesome.
No, it's a great place to visit.
Oh, you mean like
a terrible place? Geez,
let me tell you, in this next century, it's going to be a great place to move to.
Sure.
It's like I call it Super Colorado.
Right, right. It's a great place to visit.
Because everything is enormous. Like, the mountains are bigger.
It's cold Texas.
Cold Texas.
Except that it's night for, like, full days for, like, months. So, it's not...
Yeah, that's pretty much what we get with daylight savings in Alabama, so...
I assume that's why there's no, like... I mean, there's no real sports, high-profile sports there, because you can't play outdoors, and it's hard to get around in the winter. I mean, that's my assumption.
There's also generally just not
like people. It's a long way away.
It's not a TV market.
It'd be really hard to convince people to come there to school, I'm sure. Oh, we were just talking about Alaska. I don't know. Hawaii, Alaska. I was trying to think of, other places where it would be hard to get to. Non-mainland is where I got to hear it from.
Okay. Well, do we want to talk about the basketball team playing ULM Friday night?
Sure, go for it, man.
Maybe.
I don't know anything about ULM basketball.
Is that Terry Bowden's ULM that we're talking about? Isn't he the coach at their?
It is. This is a basketball version of the Bowden Bowl.
Man, they got to do. They got him. They make him do both sports.
That'd be awesome.
Golly.
He's gonna wear that gold jumper on the sideline.
Some ringy dingy operation down there. He got drafted the bus
they
too.
They don't have much money.
Have you ever been to Monroe, Louisiana?
I have not.
It smells not good, man. So bad.
It's not a good place in the world.
It's so bad.
It smells like a paper mill. That's what it smells like. Yeah.
A paper mill that's where the paper's made of manure. That's what it smells like.
Well, we're going to win, Ryan. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Sure, hope so. They're a bottom middle tier or Sun Belt team. Probably they're projected to be under 500 conference. Just not a great program. They're going to play LSU tomorrow night, so we'll get a little bit of a sneak peek there against SEC competition. But they were one of the worst offenses in the country last year, 313th in efficiency there. Slow tempo. They did shoot threes. I'll tell you that. Not great, but just better. Better than anything else.
I love the slow tempo 3-pointing shooting team. It's like they just work the ball around, chunk of three. It's a hilarious combination. Like, we're going to hold the ball for 30 seconds. We're going to end up shooting from 30 feet out. We didn't get anything better than this. This whole
it works when you have a Jared Harper on the team. It doesn't work when you don't.
He didn't do it 30 seconds in the shot clock most times. No, I mean, it was like 3 seconds in.
Yeah. I saw the highlight of the three at the end of the Florida game this week in the SEC tournament where just kind of takes it down to the end of the shot clock, hits a logo three,
right?
Game winner.
I mean,
game over.
Those teams, Crow, are the true live by the three, die by the three
exactly.
teams. Because if you don't hit and you've wasted 30,
you've
30
wasted
seconds,
30 seconds.
It is not a good thing. It's like a Gus Malzahn offense that goes three and out.
Yeah. And you waste 30 seconds and you got one shot off and you didn't get the rebound. Whereas like an Auburn team will normally get up and down and they might get two shots in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's funny is that their only solid strategy last year was causing a bunch of turnovers. They were 44th in steal percent in the country, which you would think would lead to a lot of transition points, but no, slow tempo. They would get that steal and then just kind of go sit in the corner, I guess.
Is this the kind of team that would like drive in and realize, oh, wait, we got to run some plays, and then we'll just pull out and set up the offense off a turnover? Disgusting.
So they're led by a Texan, though, Crow. Russell Harrison's a senior out of Lubbock.
That's a long drive.
Huh?
That's a long drive.
It is.
To Monroe.
Halfway across the U.S.
I like how you're... Oh, okay, to Monroe. I thought you just meant like in general. Lubbock is just a long drive.
Period. I don't care where you are. It's
from anywhere.
Drive. It's from anywhere that's not Lubbock.
He's a 6'7", 200-pound. He's a three, as far as I can tell, at least. 12.5 a game. 6 rebounds a game. It doesn't mean he was efficient, though. He had 11 PER last year. But he was kind of where the offense went through.
That's the game that Jabari figures it out. And just roast that guy.
That'd be nice.
You heard it here first.
We did have a fair few turnovers the other night against a D2 team. So that's the only place where either one of these teams could get us, I think, is if we just turn the ball over a bunch.
I definitely think that's going to be ULM's strategy in this game, at least.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Lock it down there.
A bunch of dudes that have never played together before. Really rattle the cage if you turn them over. So I'm excited. I'm excited the basketball is here. Got tail end of football season here. A couple more tailgates left. I got three. I can go to South Carolina, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah. I do think it's important. We're all kind of dour on the football team right now after losing to A&M, not scoring a touchdown. But taking a step back, if you had said, all right, 6-3, you're going into the final three games. Sure. Yeah.
Chance to win all three of them too.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily exceeding expectations, but it's right where we wanted to be at. You know, playing meaningful football in November. If they didn't win that game, they needed to win.
Snatch your hand off for 9 wins.
Yeah.
Totally would have snatched your hand off.
I think it's important to note that Alabama only beat LSU 20-14 with, I believe, only 6 more rushing yards than any of us had against LSU this year.
Look, so. I don't want to get too crazy here, but
we're going to beat Alabama.
Well, things kind of fell apart for Alabama at the end of Bear Bryant's tenure as well.
Wait, what?
And yeah.
You're saying that Nick Saban's going to retire soon and then drink himself into an early grave?
I mean, he may die right after the game.
He's older than Bear Bryant was when he died now, yes, I believe.
If Nick Saban has a 3-game losing streak in Jordan-Hare Stadium?
Well, and I say that like him, like a 3-loss season would be as bad as Bear Bryant's losing season this last year for Nick Saban's Alabama. Because the Tide was not nearly as dominant over Bryant's tenure there as Saban has been. I mean, it was a longer tenure, obviously, but and so more opportunities to win national championships and beat us. But for a 10-year span, there's just nobody as dominant as this this Alabama team. And a 3-loss season is disastrous for Saban. And I mean, I think he would tell you the same. So we got a chance to really do something here and maybe expose a chink in the armor there. But that's, we've got a couple more weeks before that. We really dive into really hyping ourselves up on the idea of beating Alabama.
Last thing I want to comment on before we finish up, I guess, is some bowl projections that I saw today. Seems like the pretty agreed upon projection right now is the Gator Bowl against an opponent we're all very familiar with, Clemson Tigers.
Hey, but
is that agreed upon? I saw a lot of other outlets with a lot of other projections.
That was the most common. I mean, I think 4 or 5 different places had us going to the Gator Bowl, and 3 of them were Clemson.
Man, look, I relish the chance to get back on the win column against Clemson.
I would rather go to any other bowl against almost any other team besides Wisconsin and Nebraska.
Wisconsin.
Well, hey, you're in luck. We can't play Nebraska this year.
Right.
Because they're the best 7-loss team in the country.
Yikes. What a bummer for them.
I'm still waiting on my...
With a positive margin of victory.
I still think Home Field Apparel should make a shirt that says best and then like the algebraic X lost team in the country. I'd wear that shirt. Make it in any color combination they want. We're the best whatever lost team in the country.
But you know what Auburn or what we haven't lost this year is the tailgate.
What are we?
Had a great tailgate. Every home game in the year. Yeah, exactly. And,
come on by and see Chief.
Week, yeah, yeah. This week we're having a tequila tailgate. So if you enjoy tequila, stop by and say hello. Or if you don't, stop by and say hello. We're at the South
Carolina. After the game, not before the game.
After the game, yes. There's I will not be there. I'm not able to attend the game this week, but I will be there after the game to hang out. So. If you want to come stop by the South Quad parking deck instead of going and sitting in your car for 2 hours trying to leave, do it.
Yeah. So, maybe Chief will Skype me in.
Yeah, maybe. Still working on like a ring light setup so we can do like a post game at the tailgate.
Just record TikToks.
Yeah. With my fancy new phone that I'm getting.
Yeah.
TikToks, man. I just can't do it.
All right, you guys.
I think Jimmy might formally kick any of us out. Try to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Doing dances.
Yeah, Ryan's just going to start doing dances over there.
You guys, he is the youngest. Like, look, this is the TikTok dance. I got to do this tutorial.
Is your sister really into TikTok? Is that, is it, Is it just mandatory?
I think she has an account, but she doesn't really.
Have you ever looked at it for long? It is one of the more addicting social medias. It is a time suck. You'll sit there and you'll watch 100 videos in a row, and you'll go, "What? Wait, what?"
YouTube has their own version of it that's in like beta now, and it comes up on my YouTube feed, and I get angry about it every time I see it.
Yeah. But anyway. All right, you everybody who's listening to this, have a Warrior weekend. And we're going to try to get Lindiana James to come on. One, two, three, four. Adios.